Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Startup Addict. Today we're going to be talking about starting a business.
Starting a business.
Yes. And
believe it or not, that was take 4 of the intro. That was why Dennis was holding back a chuckle there.
Yeah. I thought it was the coffee.
Yeah. It's really coffee. Got him, like, it's like,
Yeah, we've actually been sitting here. You guys have only been listening to us for about 15 seconds, but we've been sitting here for about 5 minutes trying to get that
intro going.
Tough intro down of welcome to episode 8.
Nailed it.
Done.
So we've mostly talked about things we've done in the past or hypotheticals, or lately we've gotten into the philosophy of random things.
Yes.
But when we started the podcast, one of the things we wanted to do was talk about businesses as they come up and as we work on them here. So today we were going to try to take one of those companies and kind of have a list of questions that we can go over, and then potentially in the future do it for different companies. And I actually think it'd be fun one day if we had no warning and we just got given an idea and we had to go over the what would we do. Not because what we would do is right or what anyone else should do,
yeah,
or would turn into a good business, but I think it'd be interesting to hear a thought process that had like no preparation and just straight, here's an idea. So if anyone's like got an idea,
creation exercise.
Yeah. So if anyone's got an idea for a random business, post them in the comments or shoot us a message and we might take a stab at it. Dennis can't stop laughing because Dennis Dennis has been suggesting
he's been suggesting
business ideas for the last half hour. This episode might completely fall apart. Dennis is still mad because he wanted a coffee. Well, I said, does anyone want coffee? And Julio said no, and Dennis said, I'll take a sippy cup, which I took to mean, no, I don't want any more coffee. And then I got here, and he was pretty let down that he didn't get a coffee.
So we had to go split skis.
Yeah, apparently a sippy cup means, yeah, I'll take a small of whatever you're having.
Yeah.
But no one else in the world knows that, so.
Now we do.
Yeah, now we do. So maybe sippy cup coffee will be the business that we, the hypothetical coffee business we'll talk about.
Baby coffee.
Coffee baby.
Coffee for babies. See, they're just right, rolling right off the tongue.
Yeah,
write that one down.
And if you listen to the last episode, you'll know that will be the bartender. Wow. Yes,
that'll be cool.
Hooio.
All right. So enough nonsense. We apologize for we've
fallen apart
the last few episodes. Okay. So one of the ideas we're working on, which is kind of in its infancy, even though it's almost a teenager, is Speed Quarters. So
how does that idea come about?
Well, first of all, let's go over what Speed Quarters is.
Oh, yeah,
because
true.
Apparently we're from an old generation.
Yeah, we tried to explain that the other day. And,
is it an app?
Yeah.
The two girls that work here, they were like, well, that sounds more like, and they're like, no, Speed Quarters has been around.
Yeah. Apparently, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Yeah, apparently anyone under the age of 35, Speed Quarters is a completely foreign concept.
Yeah.
But when I was in college, it was a daily activity. Speed Quarters was a big deal. I mean, I remember when I left the dorms early, my freshman year, I moved into a studio apartment in Isla Vista. I was down in UC Santa Barbara. And I had a big shared balcony, like not a exterior balcony, like a balcony where you climb up the staircase. I guess a landing. I had a big shared landing. And so because I was, you know, the only one that wasn't in the dorms anymore, I would, you know, a bunch of friends would come over, and all we would do is just set up tables out there and just play Speed Quarters all day long. And it was awesome. And the thing about Speed Quarters is quarters is basically you take a quarter and you bounce it into a cup. So Speed Quarters is taking that individual game and turning it into a little more action-packed group game. So you might sit at a table, say there's 8 of you at a table, two people, there'll be two cups and two quarters. So people directly across from each other will start with a cup and a quarter, and when you bounce your quarter into the cup, you pass it to the left. And what you don't want to have happen is you don't want both cups to end up in front of you. So if you keep missing and everyone around the table is making it, the cup's getting closer and closer and closer, and all of a sudden, person next to you, to your right, makes the shot before you've made yours, you have both cups in front of you, and now you pound your beer. That was how we played in college, and you know, you could get it complicated, and you could put other cups around it, so if you accidentally bounced a quarter in another cup, you have to drink that one before you can keep going. But I always thought that it was, even though it was a drinking game, it was a, it felt like something with a little more potential, because yeah, it's hard to explain, but it creates real, like,
tension.
And like, and you watch people, and as the quarter's getting closer, you just start panicking, your hands start shaking, you're bouncing the thing wrong, your everything goes off, because you feel this like, I've got to hurry up. So it mimics the sport in that way. And even as a spectator, it's somewhat fun. Usually, if you were sitting around watching other people play drinking games, it wasn't that fun.
Yeah.
But speed quarters, at least you could, there's things you can root for, and you can help as a crowd. You can help like get on the person who's in danger of getting caught. You can, yeah, you know, contribute to. You can heckle them and make them more nervous. So I thought I was really like that. And when I got out of college, I missed it. So for Zappos, we moved to Las Vegas in 2004, and in 2005, I decided to host the first World Series of Speed Quarters.
So what were the steps in setting that up?
That was like, we need to play Speed Quarters. We should, and I think we were having, you know, parties at our house, and we got people playing quarters, and it was like, reminded you, yeah, this is a great group activity, and it's fun, and blah, 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 blah. So I think the first thing I did was got the domain, and I don't remember if I had WSOSQ or World Series of Speed Quarters or speedquarters.com. Got the domain, made a logo, which was basically Speed Quarters written in a font with World Series. Actually, no, I had a hand that was holding a quarter as if it was about to bounce it. And then we had to go, and I had to find a bar. And this, you know, was going to be mostly people I knew. But I went and found a bar. So there was a sports bar in Henderson. I don't remember the name of it. I went to them and I said, hey, they had nice wooden tables, and like, hey, can we want to put this event on, the World Series of Speed Quarters? And they were like, okay. You know, I wasn't really asking for much. All I was asking for was, can we A, film? Because I was introduced to a guy who did film production, and he was intrigued by the idea. My buddy Farner, it was a friend of his. I don't remember, and Farner, John, went to Santa Barbara with me, and so he was familiar with Speed Quarters, and I don't remember how. So he saw the potential in it, so he mentioned it to a friend. The friend's like, oh, come out and film it, and maybe we could pitch it to a TV station or something, yeah, right? And so then I called a couple of friends, and we need commentators, right? So we set up a commentary booth, and we had two commentators, Buddy Jones, who was from Santa Barbara as well, and then I think Dr. Vic, who was my chiropractor who invested in Zappos, who had, at that point had come out to work at Zappos, yeah, was the other commentator. Then we needed a referee. So called my buddy Swinney, who was also from Santa Barbara. So, you know.
So he got a ref outfit and the whole
thing. He had a ref, yeah. He had like, whistle, looked like a Foot Locker employee, and he was out there. He had a whistle, yep. And then,
wait, can you get disqualified from quarters?
Well, I don't remember. You're not allowed to move the cup. So sometimes you just get rattled and you just fuck with the person's cup to the right of you because you don't want them to make it. So you push their cup out of the way. So okay, that was when you'd get a stern warning from the referee. But no, you know, asked, a bunch of people from Zappos came, a bunch of friends from home flew out for it, and then other people I'd met in Vegas. I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, the bar said, is there required drinking? And we're like, no, there's not required drinking, but it was encouraged. But so we because of, you know, legal rules, we couldn't require that you had to drink the beer in the middle because the bar had the rule, hey, if someone's too drunk,
yeah,
and we shouldn't be serving them anymore, and they're playing a game where they now have to pound a beer, we can't have that.
So just strongly suggested.
Yeah, well, I don't. We were pretty confident that like getting people to drink was not going to be one of our challenges.
Yeah.
We put it on, and it was fun. It was a really good event. John's wife, I don't know if she was his wife or girlfriend at the time. This was in 2005. She won. She went to Santa Barbara also. So Santa Barbara was representing pretty hard in this tournament.
That wasn't the Brooklyn Cyclone, was it? The lady who won?
No.
All right. Because I have my eye on the review that someone...
Oh, really? Nice. The Brooklyn Cyclone. You know what? That's funny. So that was So we set up a booth, and so the film guys did. So participants could go and just basically sit, almost like a confessional in the real world or something, right? They could just sit there and bullshit. And some people just went in there and laughed, and some people went up and made these like these personas for speed quarters. And
yeah, this dude says one of his highlights was finding the confessional booth, in quotes, where you get to talk privately to the camera, walking in and ranting in a lousy Dockney accent how my dad lost his eye playing speed shillings. Yeah. God, we gotta find that tape. That'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun. So we posted this to YouTube actually after the event, and in 2005 we had about 35,000, 38,000 views, and then it got taken down because the film guys had put a song in the ending, which was copyrighted. And so when YouTube later swept through everything and let the record labels come in and, you know, so they froze it, so you can't see it anymore. You can still search for it. It's still there. But I reached out to – I finally tracked down the film guy, and he said he's mailing a copy. So we should be able to take that music out, repost it. Then so that was in 2005. I'm not sure exactly around what time. And there was a small entry fee to play. There was a cash prize if you won.
This guy doesn't say how many people showed up. How many people showed up?
I don't remember. I want to say there was probably 50 or 60 participants.
Was it so? It was all
and then a packed bar just watching.
It was a word of mouth then? You never really like...
Word of mouth, yeah. I mean, it worked. That was at a ton of people. And then, you know, I knew a bunch of people from college or home and people I'd met in Vegas. What was interesting, though, was how much suspense there was at the final table. Like, there was a guy, Jeff, who lost... So. Where you can have controversy is if the quarters land right around the same time, right? Like, and is it, oh, my quarter was inside the cup, or but yours hit the bottom of the cup before, so did I catch you, or am I safe? And I remember there was like one guy threw, you know, someone threw a quarter across the table at someone else, and there was little fights, you know, little arguments breaking out. And, but
what did the winner get?
The winner got a couple $100, I think, and a trophy. And at the end, I remember, it's on the video, but from what I remember, either she won by just making the quarter right before the other guy did. Yeah. It was like pretty good, fortunate, because it's like in slow motion. The film crew got both cups, and it's like this crazy ending actually happened. Yeah,
had a replay.
But what I remember is the crowd cheering, and like everyone's drunk, and it's a full bar, but I remember people just being like into it, right? And so... I think I was inspired at the time by World Series of Poker. I wasn't a big poker player, but I thought like World Series of Poker, World Series of Speed Quarters. So then we moved. We moved from Vegas. Yeah, I thought I'll do this every year. And then we moved back. We moved from Vegas back to California the next year. So we ended up doing the next event in 2007. But I feel like it was probably early in 2007, just by the time we got back and got around to doing it. We did it at Bayside Sports Bar on Union Street. In San Francisco, and we had two UFC fighters, Chris Lieben and Ed Herman, as the judges. And that time we did it. So the first tournament, we just basically set everyone up at tables of eight, and you just played until there was a winner, and then you'd advance. Or I mean, it might even have been the top two advance, and we just kept whittling down the number of tables, kind of like you would in poker. In San Francisco, I think we had the layout of the bar. We didn't have as many big tables. So either that, or we had too many people signed up. So we went more to a group stage round robin format, almost like a soccer. And so we created the head-to-head model. So you would sit at a little two top table across from someone. So if the three of us and one other person are in a group, we're gonna play each person in our group head-to-head, and then based on that we're gonna seed people. And then I don't remember what happened. I don't know if we took the top seed and or the top two seeds and they went to the elimination rounds or what we did, but they So that round was, the head-to-head rounds were either alternating shots, who would make the most out of 10, or the first to 10. I can't remember which one. But that model worked too. And then that another fun event. The place wasn't set up as big, we didn't have the same size commentary booth. I mean, the first tournament, the commentary booth looked like a legit... There was a backdrop and there was a table, and they were like super into it and funny guys. And the second one was more, we filmed it with the film guys, and it was let's edit this afterwards and add commentary afterwards, I think was the approach at the time, because of the noise and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So after that, so now we got the fully edited version from before. and we filmed the second event. And the guy's name was Eric. Eric Nielsen, I believe. So he lived in LA. So he set up a, he's like, I got some meetings for us. So we went down to Fox Sports. This is in 2007. We went into Fox Sports and into the studio, and we pitched them on having a weekly World Series of Speed Quarters show on cable. I had like a serious discussion about it and showed him the first video and all that. And
yeah.
I can vaguely picture being in that office. But I can't really remember what happened. Like it wasn't like get the hell out of here, but it wasn't a no brainer.
How do you pitch that to Fox?
I don't remember. And I don't remember if we ran into issues of it was a drinking game and that was kind of weird, or just we got enough on our plate type thing. But whatever it was, looking back, the fact that we got into that meeting was
some intrigue.
Encouraging in and of itself. But after that, so the we stopped, the film guys lost interest in the project, and I don't remember why. I think it just got busy. So we just never we'll do it next year. We'll do it in a little bit. Just never ended up putting on another event. Things get older and people have kids. We had our son in 2008. So it was probably.
Just a little.
Yeah, little things pop up.
Things to get in the way of speed quarters.
Yeah, damn, you look.
So from time to time, I would go and I would check the trademark, or I would look at the domain. And at some point, I lost the domain. I think I had the domain registered through Network Solutions or something, right? And I no longer use the email because I was using GoDaddy for everything. And I just, all of a sudden, it was gone. I let it expire. Yeah. So I don't know if it was early this year or late last year, I just started thinking about it again. And I was like, I had talked to, at one point last year, I talked to this guy, Jose. He was running the Warriors Community Foundation, and they have a poker tournament every year.
I remember.
And he was like, hey, we should do something smaller that would attract a younger crowd, right? We want the younger... I mean, the Warriors Poker Tournament raises a ton of money. Like, I don't know. It's in the millions, in one night, right? It's expensive, and they have a ton of people. It's really nice, and it's at the St. Regis, and it's cool. And there's a player at each table playing, and it's a great time, but it's pretty expensive. Yeah. And, most people can't afford to play there. And he was saying, if we could develop something that was a little more fun, targeted at a younger demographic, then we can get them used to participating in Warriors Foundation events, and over time, maybe they'll, those events will grow, or they'll grow into the poker tournament role. I was like, oh, that's cool. We should do a fucking speed quarters tournament.
Did his eyes light up when you said that?
He was like, usually people have a puzzled look when you talk about a speed quarters tournament, but he was like, okay. He left the foundation. I think he went to eBay pretty soon thereafter. And then at Nacheria one night, we were talking about, we have some slow nights during the week. And Burlingame, by 9 o'clock, Burlingame's pretty quiet on most nights. And so I don't remember if it was Jim or someone else came up with the idea of having a beer pong night.
Yeah, we did that for Cinco de Mayo last year.
Yeah. So they had a beer pong tournament there, and it went pretty well. And, but that involves rearranging the furniture and it's funny, actually, after we had the World Series Speed Quarters in 2005. So up at that point, beer pong was, we played it differently. It was, you played on a ping pong table, and you put a cup, a paddle in from the edge and the paddle in from the back, and there'd be four cups on a table, and you'd be playing ping pong. You're trying to hit it in the cup, and if you hit the cup, they take a sip. If you get it in the cup, they pound the beer. And then this, the popular form of beer pong came along at some point. And so I remember these guys in Vegas put on the World Series of Beer Pong. And I always thought, man, that was inspired by the World Series of Speed Quarters. It was a couple years later. But they did a casino outside of town. They had a little bit more of a way for people to qualify or at least register from far away. People flew in and they stayed at
any reason to stay in Vegas.
There was this one dude who, I think it was a Christmas party that I had with my friends, it was at least 2 years ago. And we're with my friends from high school and stuff like that. We're pretending we're really good because we play basketball, so how different can it be? Just making little things. He schooled us so bad. I mean, he couldn't miss. He was just boop, boop, so good. I was like, damn.
Sleeper.
His name's Marshall. He's super fucking good. I was like, damn, bro, what'd you do in college? He's like, oh, just play beer pong all day.
We went out to Denver a couple years ago. They were in a bar and they had
they had the electronic version
beer pong machine.
I beat you on that one. I remember that. That was local. Well, I was sober, sweet. Though, during the time there.
What's crazy is there was no beer pong. So it's weird how these drinking games seem to, like, it's your generation. So, like, Speed Quarters, if you go on YouTube and search for it, there's not a whole lot that's less than 10 years old. Like, it's just, like, at some point, Speed Quarters just dropped off. So I thought, okay, here we've got a historical sport. We've got a precedent.
It's got a legacy.
Untapped.
There was industry. A world championship 12, 13 years ago.
You get a knock on the door. Pull
and
the guy,
10 years ago.
Pull guys out of retirement.
Yeah. Right. So you talk about, oh, I want a brand that has, like, some, you know, you can start a brand. Or I knew a guy who acquired a brand, right? Brand Derby Jackets in San Francisco. And I always thought, man, that was a pretty good idea. There was people who were, like, nostalgic for it and, like, oh, man, I had one of those growing up. Or, oh, my dad had one of those. And and he had, like, built-in imagery, right? I mean, he had, like Eazy-E used to wear that jacket. And, like, there was one of, like Clint Eastwood a long time ago wearing it and all these things. And I'm like, man, he got, like, instant heritage, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you start a new brand, you're trying to build something up. So now the heritage for Speed Quarters only exists for about 50 people or 60 people. But, hey, you need a story.
Yeah.
There was, in Las Vegas, 13 years ago, the World Series of Speed Quarters. And it's coming back. So
I remember you bringing it up, though, to me after I think you had watched like a dart event.
Yeah. So there was the on BBC America, they have the Premier League darts.
And then you sent it over, I think sent us a video or something, where just the hype around the crowd and just how it involved and, like, how it felt like a major sporting event. And I think that's where it was. You know,
like, dude, it was a major sporting event. And, like, in England, in the Premier League darts, I just flipped channels one day, got to the show. It's like an arena.
Yeah.
Full of people.
All those guys
watching someone play darts on a stage.
I don't know how they do it.
Dude, and then the crowd is, like, cheering and singing as if they're at a soccer game. I'm like, this is amazing. But it got me thinking again, like, okay. And well, what I thought from that was not that we could fill an arena, but, like, okay, if you could take something that most people could do, it's not, like, really based on, like, athleticism or years and years of, well, darts is, but, you know, something where you could, in theory, just start playing. Yeah. Low equipment cost, no real barrier to entry, and a social game. You know, I might be the only person in the world, but I was like, Speed Quarters makes perfect sense as this. So then I thought, okay, do I still have the domain? I looked. I didn't have the domain, so I had to go buy that, which sucks. I think it cost like $2,000. And then I refiled my trademarks. And then what else did I do? Well, then I just started thinking, okay, what would we do, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess a difference between then and now would be, back then I was just thinking, I want to hold this event. I just want to put on this event because I want to have a good time with a bunch of people I know, and just, it'll be a good party.
Yeah.
And it's funny that we have Speed Quarters at the center of it. And maybe I was thinking once a year, but if I was thinking anything, I was thinking maybe once a year we'll have a party, a Speed Quarters party. Other than the aberration of the trip to Fox Sports. So this time around, I was coming from a different angle and thinking, okay, you know, I've seen darts, I've seen poker, and I still think Speed Quarters is a diamond in the rough. Like, there's above and beyond the, it's a drinking game. I think this could be pretty good. You know, you see these, you read articles about, like, you know, are there sports that are perfect for streaming or social media? And I just started thinking, man, like, yes, like little highlight. You could picture little highlight clips of the quarter, and you could picture challenges that would go viral, and you could picture, like, you know, crowd shots of the crowd going crazy and, like, drama of, like, someone almost getting caught and making it the last minute. And then, you know, because the problem is if you're about to get caught and you make it, well, now there's a ton of pressure on the person to the left of you because all of a sudden they just got the quarter and you're right next to them. So I thought, I think there's something here beyond just an annual party. So we thought, okay, well, what would the model be? And so I figured, okay, we need live events, right? I mean, it's a great participant sport, and I think it's a good spectator sport. So we need to figure out, what's the point of these live events? Are we doing them? Are we doing them in a restaurant, a bar, or are we doing them for streaming, like for, you know, to be televised? Because we still haven't made a decision, right? The pros and cons of each are, okay, we do them in a bar. It's a festive atmosphere. People come. It's a familiar situation. We could, in theory, have events all over the country in bars. We could build a system for qualifying and having satellite tournaments and regional qualifiers and all that stuff leading up to the final event. And then there's also the approach of, well, if we think that, you know, streaming or social media, like this could be part of Twitter's sports series or, you know, YouTube channel, whatever, then we could, then we would think, okay, well, maybe it's more we build an arena, right? And so you're used to looking at it a certain way, and we have all the cameras built in, and it's, and we build up the characters. And so maybe we don't have the whole country playing on this video, but we've got our, whatever it is, 64, 128 people.
Yeah.
And we really go in depth on those people. It's like the first season of The Ultimate Fighter. Like, you cared because, like, you knew them, right? And so, yeah.
There's so many ways you can do that.
Yeah, you create this thing, and you start a fantasy league where you have people can tune in and pick their favorite players. We have rules of, like, how many shots do they make? How many shots do they miss? How many people do they get out? Like, whatever. Or maybe it's a combination of the two. And so, to be honest, that's where we are with that at this point. We haven't really come up with a decision. Then we thought, okay, and then how do you... You know, what I've started to do recently is I realized in the past we were, because all these ideas were separate. And so a lot of it, you were duplicating work and you were saying like, well, let's keep that separate. That's not true. Either keeping it separate or trying to just combine things that don't make any sense being combined, right? But then I thought, okay, well, what else would make quarters exciting? And it's prize money, right? If people are just playing for nothing, that's fine. But if we could make it like a lucrative sport, you know, we're not talking, it's not going to be competing with the NBA, but you could, you know, if we could offer $10,000 prizes and enough for people to feel like, yeah, if I invest some time practicing this or getting myself out to this event, there's a payoff, right?
That's true, because there's only so much drama that's involved with having to avoid drinking a beer or pounding a beer.
You know, yeah.
Already picturing recruiters going to sororities and fraternities.
Yeah. Right. And so maybe there's, you know, I don't know, but like you said, maybe there's qualifying through events, maybe there's qualifying through video submissions, and then we have to find a way of verifying it, and just one of those, maybe we have a brand manager that's just bombing around the country on a quest to find the next great quarters player.
Yeah, what a terrible job, going to party to party.
Oh, man, the one thing people. I said, I remember talking about this with my buddy Spitz, like, who went to Santa Barbara too. I don't know how, we probably talked about it a number of times over the years, of like, God, if only we were younger, wouldn't it be a great job to just get a big ass SUV that just said Speed Quarters on the side, and your job was to just travel from college to college to college and find Speed Quarters players and promote the brand in that, which, to be honest, if anyone's listening, that's probably a position that might become available soon. And actually, what we are, you know,
at luchaventures.com.
Yeah, we are going to need a brand manager and regional managers and all that stuff for this once we get it going. So you can reach out through the fadedbrands.com website.
Oh, my bad.
Jim's email is
Jim's
just
blowing up right now.
Dude, I got the... I'm
just, yeah,
I'm
why
the
is everyone emailing me about Speed Quarters?
There's interest.
So I thought, okay, well, and what are we going to call it? You know, World Series of Speed Quarters, I like the sound of it, but that's a lot of fucking letters. Like, to try to write that out is a lot, right? Yeah. And so I was able to get at Speed Quarters on all the social accounts, which I thought was surprising. And then I thought, okay, well, we've been working on this soccer project, right? So another project we were working on was the National High Stakes League for soccer, okay, the NHSL. And that was soccer where people would buy a franchise, buy a team, and you'd compete in tournaments throughout the year, and then all working your way towards one big cup. And so the cup winners would all... So the first cup would be called the Bay Area Cup in the Bay Area, and you'd eventually play in this big cup. We were going to launch that in 2019, and the idea is, there's a lot of people that want to own lower division soccer teams. They want to have a soccer team that represents their city or their area, but we felt like the current models are a little bit cost prohibitive. Like, you have to travel, and you have this long... You either have a season that's too long, so you spend too much money traveling, or it's too short, so you can't generate enough money off ticket revenue, and you're forced to like focus on ticket sales and sponsorships, which are tough at that level of soccer. You have stadium requirements, which make no sense, and all these random things where, man, can't we just have a system where you could have a good team for the community, right? And they just play. And so if we make it where, okay, you're just gonna play in three tournaments a year and you'll have minimal travel costs. We'll play all the tournaments in a shared field, so there's no like, just eliminating the hassles of having to draw. And it's not fan, it's not, your revenue is not going to come from sponsorships or fans. You could certainly sell sponsorships, but your revenue would come from the cash prize at the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
And so we had, I had met this guy Nick on Twitter, who I had seen had made some like crests for different soccer teams, and so I didn't know him, but I pinged him, and we were working on this league, and so he started building out crests for us for the different Bay Area teams that we thought eventually would have a soccer franchise. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, why don't we had talked in the past about the National High Stakes League, which is what NHSL stood for, could have multiple sports. It doesn't just have to be soccer. This whole idea of like tournament-based high stakes or money to the winner competitions would work for a number of things. Oh, well, fuck, it would work for Speed Quarters. So why don't we just call, why don't we take the NHSL crest and just put it next to Speed Quarters? So we did that, and okay, well, what about, you know, the soccer thing was going to have a relatively high barrier to entry at the beginning. It was going to be like we hadn't just figured it out, but $25,000 or something, $50,000 to buy a team. And then, you know, with a big cash prize at the end. Well, what if we used Speed Quarters for two things? One, Speed Quarters, and two, to test that whole format and how that would work. And we came in with a lower franchise fee, right? Say we had a franchise fee that's under $5,000. Who knows? It could be as low as $1,000 or it could be as high as $5,000. Whatever that number is, it hasn't been defined. And then you just, you know, we have to make the rules now because we're creating a sport, right? So yeah. You have to make rules. So I said, okay, well, let's do, if we had a league and we decided we'll have X amount of tournaments throughout the season, we'll start with the Bay Area. So all the teams are close. So it'll be easy to drive. It'll be easy to meet in a common area, whether it's our studio or different bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
If we limit it to 16 teams initially, then if there's four players per team, we can have a 64-person tournament. So we can have eight tables of eight people each. The winner of each table advanced to the final table. And there we go. We got it 8-on-8. And we could, you know, and then we could have, in parallel, we could have some head-to-head play. So maybe you've got a team of, it'll either be five or six on a team. But say it's five of us, and we're like, you know, Dennis gets a little rattled when the quarter's coming around the table towards him. But when he's not under pressure, he cannot fucking miss. Well, then Dennis would be our, hey, you go be in our head-to-head guy, mm-hmm. right? So each tournament would have like the gameplay, and then there'd also be a separate head-to-head thing going on. And we figure out a point system and blah, blah, blah. I thought, okay, that seems attainable. And A, there's not many expenses for the person, the team buying in. And B, if we were to expand and have tournaments around the country, it's not cost prohibitive for a team of four or a team of five to fly somewhere and just play.
Yeah.
They don't have many costs during the season. So I just started reaching out, actually, just mostly to people we knew, and realized that with a quick, a few phone calls, you know, unofficially, all of a sudden we had like seven franchises spoken for in the Bay Area.
That's true.
And so we're like, wait a minute.
That was easy.
We're, it floated the idea of like, hey, this is the concept. This is the thing. This is the prize money. This is basically how it would work. Would you be interested in, you know, knowing, you know, what city the person is? Would you be interested in the franchise for your city? Not everyone said yes, but felt like, wow, okay. Within a couple of days, we got seven teams. Which in theory, as soon as we had eight teams, we got enough to hold a first event anyway. So that's where we are now. And the next phase is, and then we, you know, we take the crests, which are being created, say it's for, say it's for Saratoga Football Club. So it's Saratoga FC. So we either have Saratoga FC that plays in the Speed Quarters tournament, or we just change the crest to Saratoga Sporting Club or Saratoga Quarters Club, right? Yeah. And then so for the person getting the franchise, like they've got a pretty fun thing. They've got their branding and their crest. They've got some merch that'll come with it. And now it's up to them. They just got to go out and find their players. We don't care who you get. I don't know if there's such a thing as a ringer out there in Quarters, but if you can find them, they can be on
the Ukraine or something like that.
So now the next step is finalizing, okay, when is our first event going to be? Whether it's a real event or a test event, what exactly is the franchise fee going to be? What exactly do they get in exchange for that? And then what exactly are the rules?
Yeah.
And what do we want to test first? Do we want to go for a more social thing in a bar, or do we want to go for the, you know, the focus is to make it a televised sport? And then how do we create that darts? So you've got two extremes, right? Poker is very quiet and very serious. And I was born in England, and I'm still convinced that you put a British commentator on anything. Like, I remember going to England as a kid and being like, it wasn't very many channels. You turn it on, it's like, what are they playing? They're playing pool. And it was like, he's done it. Look at that. You know, it's just like, it just sounded so fucking legit that you're like, oh my God, did you see the shot? And then you're like, I'm going to watch this all the time. You never watch it again. So we picked that too. We're like, okay, so what does this brand mean? Is this brand like darts, where there should be people singing and swaying in the background and cheering loudly? Or is this like poker, where it's more like hush, hush, look at this technique and look at all the pressure here and look what's going on? I think the former, hopefully. But yeah. Those are the fun things. And then knowing that, hey, whatever we put out is the first thing, that's going to create the first impression. So that's my initial reaction was, let's do one this weekend. And then it's like, no, hold on. If you want to have a party once a year, you could do that. But if you want to try to create a sport that, you know, gives off the right first impression, then we need to spend some time thinking about it. And everything, even though it's quarters, we have to treat it as if it's Wimbledon or the NBA Finals, you know? Like, it's got to be serious, or there's got to be professional, and it's got to have people kind of scratching their head like, I'm watching this fucking thing. It's a drinking game.
But
it's pretty exciting, and they're taking it very seriously. Do you know what the rules are? I think I might sign up for this fantasy league.
So when are we going to do the beta test?
I was hoping for June. I thought June would be a good time to aim for it. But it depends on...
Oh, thanks. I'm thinking about it.
No, it's April. It's almost May. It depends on... it really depends on which model. It'd be easy to toss one together in a bar. But I think we already kind of know what that looks like. So I think the value might be in filming it and seeing like what do we have there,
produce it like a actual sporting
event. In which case we just need to build a little arena, and we need to figure out like time wise like how is that going to work, how long is it going to take to play, you know? So in that theory we'd have 9 games, right? Because you have 8 tables of 8, and then you have the final table of 8, so we have to have enough time to play those 9 games. I mean, If you sat there and watched, because you might play in the first one, right? You might not play again until the end. It'll be interesting to see, like, I mean, it should be pretty funny.
Well, if you're running 4, now we're just brainstorming, but if you're running 4 and 4, it's not too long of a wait. You know, so you do the 4 tables first, and then the second round of 4 tables. So now you've done your 8, and then the...
Yeah, if you had an arena with 8 tables, but if you just had one, I guess you just have one final table that's, like, raised up, put some bleachers around it.
Yeah, lights. Smoke machine coming out of a tunnel.
Yeah. So that's where we are. So it's a ridiculous idea.
And ideas like that are early on, you just, you could visualize it in your head. Obviously, you have this super cool like atmosphere that you've created in your mind already. But early on, something like that has X amount of steps, are you just trying to create little like momentum boosts along the way? Like, for example, creating a logo that pushes you towards like thinking about this model or thinking about this next thing and thinking about this next thing. Are you just, I guess you're subconsciously doing that, but as someone who might have an idea out there, is that essentially the process of just keep building momentum towards, you know, that final product?
Yeah, I think it's all trying to like prove that it's real. See if like what you visualize in your head, like the more you can get out of your head into the real world and it like, oh, that's still seems real. And then, you know, I think what's interesting is I think because it's like, why didn't we do this in 2005, right? I mean, fuck, it's 2018.
Yeah.
We could have been pretty far along by now. But it's because it's speed quarter. Like, it sounded like such an absurd thing.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And so what I find interesting is like speed quarters, Nacharia. They were both like, Nacharia was, you know, 1999 or 2000 was when I thought it was a good idea. But we didn't open it until 2016.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons finally opened is it just kept coming back as like, I think this is a good idea. It's crazy to think that over a decade, kept thinking every couple of years, every once in a while, something. Yeah, I still think that's a good idea. So quarters was like, I thought it was a good idea. Now, mind you, I was still at Zappos, so I was like still working, you know, full time on something else. So the idea of like, oh, you know what I should do? I should leave Zappos and I should go
start Speed Quarters.
I should go drive around the country in a van promoting Speed Quarters. That seemed like a little far fetched. And you know, and I just got married, so it's like, hey, we're gonna go drive around the country, man. But yeah, I just think there's something there, and it just kept reminding me and kept coming back, and like, huh, still something there. And then I think as technology has evolved, you know, think about it. Back then, we had a film crew, and they had to do it, and we could the only way we get a copy was from them, and we had phones, but they were nowhere near what they are today. I don't even know when we were. We weren't even taking pictures on them, I think. I think we were using separate cameras to take pictures in 2005, right?
You could, but they were super, I mean, they yeah. just lived on the phone and you never saw them again.
And there was no, might have been Twitter and Instagram, but it was nothing, you know? It wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And so now you think of it and you think, man, we could create good content and we could do this cost effectively and people are more used to these kind of things. I mean, fantasy sports, for example, that didn't exist that much back then. So, you know, anything where you're going to kind of do tongue in cheek with something that's established has to be established before you can do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's still a semi ridiculous idea. Like someone would say, well, what's the big plan? Okay. Well, or how could it turn into something big? Well, the way it would turn into something big would be if either your franchises kept going up in value, and so the prize money kept going up. And then there was demand, and you said, I'm going to keep this small, but we want more and more people competing for these teams. Or I think the more logical thing is you just grow regional tournaments. Like, it's not a spectator sport, so you don't have the requirements of like, oh man, like we can't put two of these close together. Like, in theory, there's an infinite amount of people that could, you know, register to be, you know, official World Series or Speed Quarters NHSL players, right? Yeah. And then there's infinite amount of tournaments. There could be tournaments going on every day somewhere around the country, every week at different college campuses or different cities or different anywhere, right? All working towards this qualify. So it'd be complicated. And this is by no means like, I don't want people to think these guys are fucking delusional. It's not like you think like, oh, this can be the NFL. But why not? You know, why couldn't it be something where it's an actual business?
Yeah.
So an actual business doesn't mean it has to be worth $1 billion. It just means an actual business that employs people, is entertaining, and makes some profit. Like, that could be, I think that's attainable.
Yeah.
But it's all about execution and creating the sport, like, so people, it's appealing.
Yeah. How long do you have a game plan on how long you want to pursue it, or are you just going to keep going until the response, see how the response is?
Well, I think we get the first franchises sold and then we've got 16 teams, and then I think at minimum you do a quarterly tournament between those teams.
Yeah.
And then you'd probably take those tournaments and cut them up into different episodes, right? So each tournament could in theory be, because I don't think people necessarily want to sit there and watch 3 hours of Speed Quarters, right? But if you've got 8 tables, you could every day put out a video of like the one table, and then, oh, here's the winner. Stay tuned tomorrow. See the next qualifier. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We'll figure it out.
You know, Wing, I don't see anything that would come up that would stop us from trying an event. Because A, we've already done an event and it was fun. And B, there's no big expenses involved. So it's just a matter of time right now. So we don't have enough people right now to, we don't have any extra people to focus exclusively on this, which again is always the challenge of working on a bunch of things. Like, I think the same thing I thought in 2005, hey, if we would have hired a crew of college kids to get tournaments established throughout the country at different schools and set up leagues and conferences, like, I mean, I think Southern California Speed Quarters League, like, fuck, if you were on the UCSB team, you went down to play UCLA and San Diego State and stuff like that, that would have been great. You know, they do it for volleyball. You're just hitting a ball over a net. This one, you're just bouncing a quarter over a glass net into a cup.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking something too, just because you mentioned it before, but not just, well, maybe the timing isn't right for an idea, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right? So, you haven't, but in 2005, perhaps it wasn't the right time to try to scale it the way that you wanted to, but if you do believe in the idea and you come back to it years later, you could find yourself in a much better, environment for it.
Yeah, I mean, in 2005, we had to go to Fox Sports and try to get it on TV because that was how you would get people around the country to watch it. Yeah. And now we can just
put it on YouTube
or put it on Twitter or Instagram or something. Yeah. People can watch it. So, yeah, sometimes you have an idea that, whether it's big or small, just needs, you know, time to catch up and technology to evolve that all of a sudden makes it like, huh, this is like relatively low risk, at least the proof of concept. And who knows, we could still be on Fox Sports. You know, we prove it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Hey,
I got friends at NBC if you want an introduction.
So,
high stakes league, speed quarters on NBC Sports California.
Yeah. Plus. So anyone out there who thinks they're working on a weird idea or a bad idea, try going around telling your parents or anyone else that you're going to start a speed quarters league.
Look at their face.
But that doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. It could be a bad idea. It couldn't be a bad idea if your goal is to try something, have some fun, and see what happens. If you had specific goals in mind, then other than that, like you had specific, like it's got to be this big or it's got to have these financial rewards or something, then it could be, you could look back and say that wasn't a very good idea.
Yeah. Unless you're really good at speed quarters and you win all the prize money.
Yeah.
Make it a lucrative career.
So I still struggle with is there an exit plan and how does it scale? And but I think even though it's hypothetical and still, you know, it's still speak order, I think we're better than I was then of trying to figure out what could a plan be, like you said, a lot of it because of technology. But I guess ultimately it just comes down to something I want to do and I'm not really afraid of someone laughing and saying, you tried to make fucking speed quarters into a sport?
I was going to ask a similar question because it's, we work for you, so we kind of know of sort of the atmosphere and the environment that we work in, but how do you, when you tell the idea to somebody who is not thrilled about it or doesn't seem to react the way, how do you desensitize yourself from letting that person's reaction keep you from actually pursuing the idea? So, I mean, someone out there might be like, oh, I have this great idea that I think is awesome. And then I tell, you know, XYZ person, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's terrible. Then you kind of go like, oh, man, I'm not going to do it.
I try to, everyone gets defensive at first. So usually if, you know, you're telling someone something, hoping for them to say it's the greatest idea ever. So I like to talk about the idea, see the reaction, try to figure out if it's like enthusiasm, indifference, or negativity. And then if it's enthusiasm, it's like, okay, cool. That was encouraging. If it's indifference, it's kind of like, is there a reason why they're indifferent? Are most people going to be indifferent to this idea? And if it's negative, my first reaction is defensiveness, whether I verbalize that or not, but I'm getting defensive in my head or they don't know what they're talking about or what are you talking about? You know, no, that's not right. But then I try to make sure that even if I don't acknowledge it immediately, that I'm taking away whatever they said. And usually then a little bit later, I'll think about what they said and try to figure out, you know, because there are some ideas where someone points it out and it's like, ah, shit, I hadn't thought about that. And that changes it. So it's no longer worth pursuing because it seems too risky or someone's already done it or someone's farther ahead than you or it would take a lot more resources than you expected or any number of things that could come up. So I try to make sure that I'm soaking that in and not like ignoring good feedback just because I don't like it. But then that's it. And, you know, from there you either adjust or you feel, you know, better about the idea or you just kind of keep going. And then it's just weighing up time. Like, and then it's like, what really is the goal, right? Like if I was like, you know, really the goal is I just haven't had a fucking night out at a bar in a long time, and I just want everyone to get hammered, and I want to see a bunch of people I haven't seen in a long time get wasted, and like, that would be fun.
By the way, come to the Hotel Utah.
Yeah, by the time you're listening to this, we won't be able to say that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It'll be a second gig, though, at the Hotel Utah.
That's true.
Date to be announced. It's going to be such a hit.
Yeah. So I try to make sure I don't have any, like, what's my real motive? My wife's really good at asking me the questions, which will make me realize, like, why are you really doing this, right? And so if I can still convince myself, no, this is a business idea worth pursuing, then it's just a matter of, okay, well, what else have we got going on, and where does it fall in the priority list? And then are we ever going to get to it, or do we need to find someone that could prioritize this? And, like, how much farther along would we get if we found that person? So right now I think Speed Corps is the point where it's like, yeah, we need to find someone who we can just put on this and say, hey, work with us on this, but spend most of your time on it. You can't be pull people off other things that are going. It's like, I was listening to a podcast with Kevin Durant the other day, and he was talking about, you know, since he came to the Warriors, he's investing in a bunch of businesses and getting really active and growing his family office and all that stuff. But that he understands that basketball's first. Without basketball, none of that other stuff happens, right? The access he gets to things, the ability he has to, like, move things forward right now are all based on his ability to have an exposure playing basketball. So he knows that if he stopped playing basketball, some of that stuff goes away. And so it's the same thing, right? We still, you know, you got different ideas, but then you've got things that are already generating revenue, already farther along in that process. And so you can't just, you know, which I used to do, I still struggle with, of like, ooh, well, this is the new shiny one. So that one's boring now. Let's get rid of that. Let's not focus on that one anymore. Now it's more like, you know, can we add on and add on and add on is kind of the difference. Before it was like, because it would always seem like a negative to be working on so many different things at the same time, that it was always like, well, just trying to figure out which is the one. And then over time you realize, no, there doesn't have to be the one. It just has to be, there can be multiple as long as they're not negatively affecting each other by battling for the same.
Would you say the biggest constraint you have is people?
On that project, yeah.
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 And then time.
And then time. But on that one, it's relatively new. All this brainstorming and everything has happened in the last couple of weeks. So now it's just getting it all on paper, getting it all, you know, working out all the details that so you can bring someone on board and say, here's what it is. Now go do X, Y, Z. Yeah. So anyways, that's one business that we're in the process of creating that hopefully in future episodes, we'll be talking about its progress and not...
That's profit.
Yeah, whatever happened to that one?
Yeah. In the future, inviting people over to the regional.
Yeah.
Have shirts ready to go, teams.
From the Faded Studios. We're live at the 2074
Speed
NHSL
coins.
Speed Quarters with $2 million in prize money.
Speed Bitcoins.
Yeah. Speed Bitcoins. That's a good idea. So...
Write that one down.
You know, for now, that one's in the move forward on pile, and hopefully it'll keep moving forward. Anyone does have a random idea they want us to take a stab at on another episode, go ahead and I don't know how we'd do that. I don't know how we'd get the thing and not see it before we started talking about it. But we record on Thursdays usually, so anyone wants to send us an idea on a Thursday morning.
We'll just build the business plan.
We will work on going through this,
brainstorming your business plan.
Going through the same process with a random idea. And there's probably some disclaimer we have to put in there, like, hey, we got a whole bunch of ideas, so it's possible you'll send us an idea we're already working on, but...
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Don't send us your real idea you're working on. Just send us some random idea you've... All right, fine. How would you guys sell Silly Putty with Dennis's face printed on it?
Oh, I got a million already.
Something like that.
About that one.
That's a normal thing to think when you look at someone, right?
Oh, yeah, Putty. Yeah. Silly Putty? Yeah.
Wish I could make your face into Silly Putty.
So, Anyways, we'll try that in the future if we get any good feedback on this one with the other ideas or companies we're working on. And hopefully that spurred some ideas for someone. So anyways, you can follow us, The Startup Addict on Instagram, startup_addict on Twitter, iTunes, The Startup Addict. Please subscribe and share with anyone you can. And one day, if Julio has promised us a URL on YouTube.
Please.
And it hasn't happened. Apparently, we're just not getting people to subscribe to YouTube.
We're climbing.
So I always thought our voices were annoying, but apparently the visual of us is more annoying. Nobody wants to watch that.
It's quite true.
So.
It's quite true.
Anyways, thank you.